free trade anymore, the way they told us they used to. No, no. Not when free trade allows another country to outcompete you. Mm-mm. Then it's no longer so attractive, is it? Now, there are excuses, of course, given. They can't admit that the Chinese, over the last 10 or 15 years, working hard on electric car technology, came up with the best car at the lowest price. That would mean that the Chinese outcompeted the American companies that were trying to do the same thing, and the European companies likewise. So we have to come up with BS to cover it over. And you know, the BS changes depending on what's in the air. So a few years ago, we were told we have to discriminate against Chinese goods. President Trump with his tariffs, President Biden continuing them. And here was the story. Our national security requires it. These companies from China talk to their government, as if there are companies in this country, big ones, that don't. National security required it. Then, when that didn't sound or work real well, we came up with another one. The one I remember most is the one that said, it's not fair, you see. The Chinese government subsidizes their car companies. Which, by the way, is true. But I defy you to find a country in the world that doesn't do that too, including the United States. Here's an example. You know why pickup trucks are popular in the United States? Because everybody wants to be a pickup truck cowboy? Mm-mm. Many, many decades ago, the United States imposed a 25% tariff against pickup trucks made in other parts of the world. They can't compete here, allowing American companies to jack up the profit they get from pickup trucks. Once they had that high profit, they did the work with the advertisers to get us all to buy pickup trucks. Subsidy from the government, that's what that tariff was. Yeah, the Chinese do it, so does everybody else. It's just an excuse. And now the latest one. The Chinese, President Biden tells us, are helping the Russians. True enough. And we're not going to allow anybody to help the Russians. Oh, really? We're going to run the whole world that way, The big policeman, the United States, is going to be in the world. And so to punish the Chinese because they helped the Russians, that's the new excuse. We're going to hit the tariffs. Now, here's the last thing for you all to understand. Will it make money for the car companies here? It will. Will we all have to spend more money than we otherwise might? We will. Will doing this allow the American companies to raise the prices of their cars? Yes. Will that contribute to inflation? Yes. Will that make it hard for Americans to export if their prices are higher? Yes. Will it make it hard for the Europeans? Yes. But it'll be most terrible for the Europeans and above all for Germany because they depend on Chinese sales of German goods. And the Chinese are retaliating against the United States for left hitting them with tariffs. So the Chinese are going to put tariffs on their goods. And they're going to put them on Germany because that's the way to cause the most pain. And still, American economists are going to say, look how nicely we're doing compared to the Europeans. Yeah, that's because what the United States is doing to China is what China then passes on the pain to Europe. We're congratulating ourselves for screwing our European allies. And if you think they don't understand that, you're not paying attention. My next update is about the 27,000 teachers in Fairfax County, Virginia. For decades, two unions have been trying to win them, affiliate of the National Education Association and the affiliate of the American Federation of Teachers. Those two are combating and competing in many parts of the United States. But they came together very recently in Fairfax. They unified, and together they won the union election so that 27,000 teachers in Fairfax County, teachers and school staff in the public schools, now have a union. You know what the motto there is? If you unify people who used to be separate, you have a lot more power and you win a lot more times. Here's a last example of that. On June 7th, a state judge in California imposed a temporary stop to a strike of students and workers. And I say students and workers because they are, in many cases, the same people. Ever since a union, the United Auto Workers, won an election to represent student workers at the University of California system, largest public school system in America. All six of the UC campuses eventually joined in protesting a strike, they could call, because it's an unfair labor practice not to protect workers. And who were the workers? Students. And what were they demanding protection for? They had organized demonstrations on all the campuses, peaceful demonstrations in every case. What were their goals? Peace and a ceasefire in Gaza. A peaceful march in favor of peace was attacked first by pro-Israeli citizens who should have been prevented from hurting the students that were marching in peace. That would have been what the police were supposed to do. But they came very late, and they didn't do their job. And so the students then said, we're going on strike because the university called the police in and is therefore responsible. Your job in the university, after all, is to educate students, not arrange for the police to beat them over the head. And certainly not when they're marching peacefully in favor of peace somewhere against the violence that peace is the alternative to. Remarkable. But the most important thing isn't the issue of Israel and Palestine, whatever your position on that might be. The important thing here is to understand that students and workers like the NEA and the AFT in Virginia are overcoming decades, maybe even centuries, of difference, suspicion, opposition. And they're coming together. Literally, the union makes the student a worker as well as a student. That message of unity allows you to have force and power you cannot have without the unity. Maybe others will learn that lesson. Maybe we'll see workers and students overcoming their oppositions. In France right now, the four left-wing parties have come together and may elect in a couple of weeks a new left government. Goodbye, Mr. Macron. Your danger is not just from the fascist right, Le Pen, but from the unity that left-wingers are beginning to recognize makes them the power they always could have been, but with unity can be now. Stay with us. We've come to the end of the first half. Our interview with Josh Fox will be right in a moment before you. Welcome back, friends, to the second half of today's Economic Update. I am very proud and pleased to bring to our microphones and to our cameras Josh Fox, the Oscar-nominated, Emmy-winning writer, director of Gaslamp Parts 1 and 2. And we now know that he has just released The Edge of Nature, a new film that I think will be as successful as Gaslamp clearly was. He's a leader of the around the issue of fracking and climate change. He has also premiered three films on HBO, two on Netflix, and his work has been broadcast worldwide, literally to hundreds of millions of people. So first of all, Josh Fox, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm really a big fan of your work and of your message.
Thank you. Okay. Here's a tough question to start you off.
Uh-oh.
Artists who are admired, who are known, who have been speaking out about ecological issues like fracking and so on, are having an enormous influence. We can see that. And yet, at the same time, the fossil fuel industry proceeds with its fracking and proceeds with its activities. how do you account for those two things being true at the same time? It obviously has to do with the money that the fracking industry can pour into it. But I wondered how you feel and see that, since you are an active struggler against all of that.
Well, I take this as my touchstone on this, the fact that we actually banned fracking in the state of New York, something that people said would never, ever happen. But the effort that that took was absolutely unprecedented. Celebrities, captains of industry, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people organizing throughout every little tiny town in New York State, an effort upon with celebrities and activists and musicians, with Yoko Ono and Sean Lennon and Artists Against Fracking, my film, Gasland, New Yorkers Against Fracking, every single major NGO and grassroots organization, including Sierra Club and NRDC, and literally 1,000 tiny grassroots groups all across New York State. So, and we had a Democratic governor, Governor Cuomo, who had a very progressive Department of Environmental Protection. This should not have taken 6 years, but it took 6 years to get that fracking ban, which was a complete, it made so much sense. It protected people's children. It stopped climate change. It didn't industrialize huge areas of New York State, which are beautiful, and despoil them. And yet it took all of that effort to make that happen. And if any one of those things didn't happen, it wouldn't have occurred. And we also connected upstate New York City, the watershed upstate and upstate New York to New York City, were arousing New York City's politicians and attention. It was an unbelievably comprehensive effort. And all of this was because of the entrenched power of the fossil fuel industry within our government. The entrenched power of the fossil fuel industry influences Democrats and Republicans. It influences every single interaction that happens in Washington, D.C. or in our state governments. And it is simply one of those things that politicians think of as a deadly foe. Even we had HBO on our side. They were terrified of the fossil fuel industry when it came to putting out Gasland Part 2. They were very, very heavily influential, tried to influence me in terms of the messaging of that film, because they were scared that they were going to get sued. The fossil fuel industry has more power than any industry on the planet, and they are willing to use it, and they do it to try to crush people. I was the subject of their smear campaigns for 7 or 8 years. I've seen what they've tried to do to politicians and leaders and spokespeople, and it is an incredible effort. However, I do believe we can win, and right now the tide has to turn. We give the fossil fuel industry $8 million, I think it is a minute, in subsidies. That's outrageous and insane. These are not foundling industries that need our taxpayer money. These are industries that are more profitable than any on the planet. But you see right now in New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul, who assumed the governorship when Governor Cuomo was deposed and resigned, who was always a pro-fracking person, is now completely dismantling the agenda of the state of New York as far as the environment and the climate. She canceled congestion pricing. She refuses to pass our major climate law, New York Heat. And she's also starting to dismantle that New York State fracking ban, which is extremely dangerous and extremely bad. And we absolutely have to bring that coalition back to oppose her. And she's a Democrat. If we had a Republican in office, we would have absolutely no chance. We would be playing defense. We are now playing defense with a moderate like Kathy Hochul. And by the way, Obama and Biden and Hillary Clinton, these were very strong pro-fracking people who lost that anti-fracking vote by and large in 2016. And it imperils Joe Biden in 2024. And I implore Democrats to understand that this is a rural voter issue, that these are votes that they would not necessarily get, and that fracking is an incredibly important topic that they should be on the right side of. Currently, they're not.
You know, as an economist, there's a part of this that is so absurd that I have to say it. You know, every now and then, I just have to say it so it's in people's minds. That industry, wildly profitable, by charging a fortune for all of its outputs of gasoline and all the rest of it, then uses those profits to make sure there's no interference in their ability to overcharge everybody. In other words, it's literally a vicious cycle. By not honing them down, by not breaking the power that they have, you guarantee that they will make the profits that you've shown us they can and will use to keep their position going for as long as they can. There's nothing else, as you point out, that's going to be as profitable as this game, and they don't want to lose it, and they'll keep it going for as long as possible. And the appeal to nature and to health and to all the other, just it falls away like nothing. They have a focus and a budget to get their ability to go. They even use the war in Ukraine or whatever, whatever it is to get the ball rolling in yet another way to allow them to continue.
Well, Obama played right into that. You know, we proposed all throughout the world a plan for 100% renewable energy, and this was in 2011. Had Obama and Biden created a Marshall Plan for Europe for renewable energy, similar to what Germany did with their Energiewende, we would have had 100% renewable energy in Europe. Putin's power over that continent with his natural gas supply, which, by the way, is a crucial factor in Ukraine as well. Ukraine is the second largest natural gas reserves in all of Europe, and Russia's are depleting right now. Putin and Russia supply Europe with natural gas. What did Obama and Biden and Hillary Clinton decide to do? They decided to push fracking in Europe to compete. This was a Cold War mentality. What we should have done and what we should be doing in the United States is saying we don't need fossil fuels anymore because we simply don't. We have technology that is 20 years old at this point, solar and wind, that will supply all of the energy needs for the entire continent. And this is just a simple technology change. We've been through so many technology changes in our lifetimes, right? We used to have a phone that was connected to a cord that went through the wall. We used to have LPs, cassettes. Now we have all of this in a tiny little box that we keep in our pocket. Technology changes are very easily absorbed by the public. The Green New Deal is a simple technology change. It would save us trillions of dollars in ruined cities, billions of lives displaced and people who are murdered by the fossil fuel industry, all of our ecosystems that are threatening to collapse. And by the way, we saved $35 trillion simply doing that because of all of the disaster that we have. So it makes absolutely no sense to keep the fossil fuel industry in power. And they're getting subsidies from us. Let me just to break this down for you. A subsidy is for a fledgling industry. A subsidy is for what we want to encourage in our society. I should get paid every time I take the subway. I should get paid every time I ride my bike to work instead of taking my car. Every single time I hop on that bike and ride a mile, I should see 50 cents appear on my phone from the government. That's a subsidy. Then we would have bike lanes get built. I should get paid $3 every time I get on the subway instead of the other way around, because that means we would have a future on this planet. And that's a subsidy that I would love to see reversed. Yes, we want congestion pricing. Yes, we want to say if you drive your car into the cities, you should be paying a premium for doing that because you're polluting our people and you're destroying our infrastructure. But and let's take that in the reverse and say the things that encourage us, if and we can track when people are riding their bicycles on their cell phone. In fact, we're already doing that. So we could know, we could very easily implement all of the changes that we want, and people will get paid to do it. So listen. The subsidy issue is absolutely outrageous and it should be reversed. But that's just one small instance of the power of the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, I used to use as an example, I really like the way you just did that. I used to use an example of the enormous subsidies to the automobile industry, which is a major polluter and a major user of fossil fuels. Building a car is what the private company does. Building the road on which that car goes, the government took over. The government paid for all of that. If the private companies had had to build the roads, by the way the railroads had to build the tracks, they would have been in a completely different situation and we would have been much easier. You know, the irrationality of our system ought to really shake people up when they realize they're paying for it and they needn't do so.
Roads are a subsidy. Roads, street lights are a subsidy.
Yes.
Right? Traffic lights are a subsidy. The fact that we pay for these things so that we don't get hit by their products is absolutely insane. And by the way, I should mention, yes, thank you so much for mentioning The Edge of Nature. We are opening in New York City first as a performance where I do the film live with all of these musicians that are incredible at La Mama, Theater. It runs throughout all of June. I don't know when this will air, but please go check on that at my social media, Josh Fox Film, because it's been a really a great time. And we're organizing nightly at our appearances, as we do on our tours, against what Kathy Hochul is doing. So if you're looking for a place to organize against what Kathy Hochul is doing on congestion pricing and on climate change and on subsidies and on fracking, come down to our theater. It's available to you. There are a code for activists, which is protest. That's the code. It'll get you in for a very reduced rate. I'm not sure what it is. Extinction Rebellion is with us every single night. We are organizing at that theater against what Kathy Hochul is doing and for the health and safety of New York City.
Good. In the little bit of time that we have, could you give me a summary opinion, your view, given how active you are? Are Americans becoming, as a population, more or less aware of, concerned about? I understand the victory in New York. I understand how you've explained the enormous cost of winning in that way. What do you think is going to happen now in terms of which way this struggle is going to play out?
Right. Which side are you on? I think people are incredibly motivated to stop the climate crisis. I think, however, social media and mass corporations are misdirecting that motivation and misdirecting that energy and focus. We cannot fix this problem through consumer actions. We would like to change our light bulbs, our straw, have LEDs, create an electric car. That is a very wonderful thing for yourself personally, but it is not effective politically. My motto on this is spend 5% of your time changing your light bulb and 95% of your time changing your politician. We have to participate in the political process. That's what gets this changed, right? If we organize 200,000 New Yorkers or 500,000 New Yorkers to simply switch their gas stoves for an electric stove, it would have cost everybody, I don't know, $600, $700, $800, $900, but it wouldn't have stopped fracking. It definitely would. We organized 500,000 people in New York State to again for that fracking ban. We win. So we have to organize. We have to understand that these things are created by policy and that those policies can change because we are in a democracy. We are not in a position to change those policies if Donald Trump is in office. We are not in a position to change those policies if you have somebody like George Pataki or Rudy Giuliani or Republican mayor, governor, or president. Because they are just going to stuff cotton in their ears and take the money from the fossil fuel industry. The Democrats, we can at least appeal to their supposed moral values, right? So we have to vote strategically, get people in office that we can badger and bruise and create our moral arguments with. And then we absolutely have to take to the streets. And we have to change those politicians. We have to change those agendas. We have to change those policies. And yes, when we've done that, when we've gotten subsidies to ride the subway, when we've gotten subsidies to ride our bicycles, when we understand that the economy should be flipping towards us, then yes, let's focus on the consumer habits that will improve our lives. But first, we have to take this on as a collective, as a political entity.
Josh Fox, thank you very much for your passion as well as all the work that you've done. The Edge of Nature, there's the new film. Go see it.
Thank you so much, Professor Wolf. It's great to be on.
Thank you. And to all of you, I say, as I always do, that I look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Subway Sidewalks, People Talk.
Join me, Chris R., for People Talk, a live call-in talk show that gives listeners a chance to share their thoughts, ideas, community issues, and more. Each week we'll have a topic of discussion to stimulate a conversation among the masses in the greater Spokane area. You'll have to tune in each week to find out. You talk, we talk, people talk. Mondays at 8 p.m. on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio.
Join me, Captain Maeve, as we head out and about. Featuring LGBTQ folk, friends, allies, and all who make Spokane a better place through inclusion, creativity, truth, and beauty. Local stories, conversations, and creations with universal appeal. Out and about, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on KYRS.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for June 24th through the 27th. Monday, open mic at Live Entertainment, Emily Nenny and Lucas Brookbank Brown at the District, and open mic with Myla Cree and Ben Ten at the Red Room. Tuesday, Jason Garrett Evans at the Rocket Market, Kyle Smith at the Chameleon, and Jerry Lee in the Groove, and Elijah Dallas at Zola. Wednesday, Nate Ostrander at True Legends, Tamarack Ridge Band at the Valley Eagles, Inland Beaches, and Eric Kegley at Zola, Dave McRae at the Nest at Kendall Yards, open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and open jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Ron Green at Arborcrest, Buffalo Jones at Brick West, Time Baby at Coeur d'Alene Park and Brown's Edition, Slapshot at the Junkyard, the Dave Larson Group at Emma Roo's, DJ Storm at the Red Room, Datura, Cruel Velvet, and others at the Big Dipper, Mr. Sister and Matt Mitchell Music Company at Zola, and Cody Canada and the Departed at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Your radio station, KYRS, actively supports the diversity of the Spokane area, celebrating the many voices that make up our region. Our volunteer-run station hosts a variety of shows that feature otherwise unheard perspectives and opinions. In a sense, KYRS is working against institutional racism, sexism, homophobia, and other forms of oppression simply by existing in opposition to mainstream media. Please make a pledge today by texting Give KYRS to 44321. Once again, that is Give KYRS, all one word, to 44321. Your support keeps KYRS operating during a time when our community needs free and open media the most.
Listen. Check, check. Yo, Maximilian, half Sicilian, raps are brilliant, shootouts like Argentina versus Brazilians, tiren papelitos, se escuchan los gritos, los chicos que yo soy disco, deepas el abismo, lo que escribo es mito, hot science cuando pinto, I'm a legend like Fito Baez, soy infinito, I'm dope like Perico Baez, Polo Caballito, el monolito, I'm God's favorito, con la pluma soy matador de hojas, vuelo como Juan Salvador Gaviota, Joaquín, Maxi y Martín son los capos, sufrí la derrota, la cancha es nuestra y tengo la pelota, no jodan, I rap sumo like Luca Prodan, todo tranqui, sticking up a todos los yankees, we top ranking, the LPC is what stop asking, I raise the seeds from dirt, my crop planting, desde Belgrano hasta Santiago, con las palabras somos magos, Fene y cola lo que trago, resalvado, King and Che los diputados, pisto vago, cuidado guacho tengo lancho, desde Belgrano hasta Santiago, con las palabras somos magos, Fene y cola lo que trago, resalvado, King and Che los diputados, pisto vago, cuidado guacho tengo lancho.
Poco pero loco los chicos criollos, ojo muy peligroso, vestido en polo on the corner, Rami Moro, la performer, the flyest aura, hide your daughter, se esconde las joyas, we grabbing todo, slap you bobo, sopla gigante, marimoto, sangre criollo, todo lo que toco es espantoso, plata o plomo, merca sin nada, frisa el cogote, don't try to stop it, the prophet, che, cash a philosophic, el smoksman, John Remo, sipping mate, the cleaner, limpio todo, facilito con el lápiz, con las palabras somos magos, los diputados reservados, Fernet con cola, todo fnico, tranqui.
Desde Belgrano hasta Santiago, con las palabras somos magos, Fernet y cola lo que trago, resalvado, King and Che los diputados, pisto vago, cuidado guacho tengo lancho. Desde Belgrano hasta Santiago, con las palabras somos magos, Fernet y cola lo que trago, resalvado, King and Che los diputados, pisto vago, cuidado guacho tengo lancho.
Vago, pasamos un trago. Chicos criollos, we here, carajo, che uno.
Are two key words if you ever go to Buenos Aires. They are insults. Borulo was softer and friendlier. You can say it without being offensive, even affectionate. For example, to a friend, you can say, Che, Lulu, as a greeting. Lulu literally means you have big. Then there is another insult, but this one is heavier. It also means you have big and heavy. But it is clearly much more aggressive than Lulu. The sound alone is more aggressive.
KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Your community radio station. local music? I want you to tune in every Tuesday, 2 to 4 on KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio. If you haven't heard what Spokane's local music scene is all about, you're missing out. Join me on Tuesdays, 2 to 4.
This message is brought to you by the community school.
You wouldn't drive drunk, would you? Most people don't think about driving tired, but you should know that driving while tired can be just as dangerous as driving while under the influence.
According to the CDC and Traffic Safety Administration, drowsy driving accounts for 20% of all fatal accidents in the United States, and about 1 in 25 adults reported falling asleep while at the wheel. Next time you feel tired, pull over and take a rest. Remember, arriving late is better than not arriving at all.
Thinner Community Radio is grateful to Turnmeyer Eco Construction for being our tower guardian for the month of June. Just like people, our tower needs a safe place to reside. This month, our tower continues to have a secured home. Turnmeyer Eco Construction of Colville and Kettle Falls provides bathroom remodeling and custom tile work. Information at 509-220-4367.
Hi, this is Chris, and you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
You are tuned to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a very special Hoop Fest edition of This Won't Hurt a Bit. My name is Mark.
And I am Erica, and I'm just as confused as our listeners probably are. That is not our opening, typically our opening song.
It's not, but it's the opening song that the Chicago Bulls always use when they come on their court.
Oh.
So it always makes me think of basketball when I hear that. So I thought I would just play that.
I got that. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Well, welcome everyone. You are tuned to This Won't Hurt a Bit. We are a medical talk show produced here locally in Spokane, Washington. And yes, we are having a special show today. Today is our Hoop Fest extravaganza. So we are going to be talking about Hoop Fest. We're going to be talking about basketball. We're going to be talking about injuries related to basketball. And we're going to probably have some basketball music as well.
Yeah, we're going to have some basketball music. We're going to have, we're going to talk about, I guess, a lot of the maladies
that are associated
with basketball and strenuous exercise, maybe for those of us that don't get out and run up and down a three-man basketball court very often, except for Hoop Fest. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So if anyone would like to get a hold of us, it's always a good way to reach us by email. You can email us. We are at thiswon'thurtabit@kyrs.org.
All one word, no punctuation.
Or you can tweet.
You can tweet at us. We are at @THAB_KYRS.
Yes, we always love to hear from our listeners. Give us some ideas about what you would like to hear. Speaking of what you would like to hear, I would like to hear a song.
Okay. So I'm just going to play the greatest ever basketball song.
Okay.
All right. Do you have any idea what it is? What's your very favorite of all time basketball song?
The Rocky theme.
The Rocky theme?
I
didn't realize he was a basketball player.
No, but that's just a good, I don't know that I know a single basketball song.
All right.
How terrible is that?
I'm going to play the best basketball song of all time.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Right here for you now. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases, never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black, while the jocks get the fly girls, and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, but sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, quick, got sick to my stomach. Overcome it by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't a type. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, 6'4" baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, 6'4" baller. I wish I had a brand new car. So far, I got this hatchback, and everywhere I go, yo, I get laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the backseat, but that's flat. And you wanna know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood ratchet old type, but really though, when in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people want a cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day, I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 until the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in the concrete jungles. And these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly, she looks fly. Make me say, my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
I do know that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to sing that to you.
You did. When did you used to sing?